Yeah, there's likely to be an increase in suicide bomb attacks, and that's according to an award-winning thesis from a graduate of UCD. Dr. Paul Gill is to receive the ECPR Jean Blondel Prize for the best political thesis in Europe. He completed this thesis while at University College Dublin. He's now a research fellow at the International Centre for the Study of Terrorism at Pennsylvania State University in the United States. He's on the line now. Dr. Gill, congratulations on the award, and explain a little to us about your thesis and why you have arrived at the conclusion that we are going to see more suicide bomb attacks.
Well, I started the PhD research in 2006 in University College Dublin. It was funded by the Irish Research Council, and a lot of my research was based around collecting data on the individuals themselves who took part in these types of attacks and also the bombing events themselves. So what we find is when we were going through all of these different case studies is that typically it can work for groups. So there's an incentive for the groups to start to use them. Typically it kills far more people. Between 1980 and 2005, suicide bombings accounted for about 3% of terrorist attacks worldwide, but accounted for 48% of the deaths. And that doesn't include 9/11. So if it did, those statistics would be off the chart. So there's an incentive for groups to start using it. So as more and more groups start emerging in places like Lebanon and so on, if they have the correct resources in place, you're likely to see that they're going to start adopting this type of tactic.
You believe that there's been a misconception or a misunderstanding on the reasons behind terrorism and suicide bombings. Why did you arrive at that belief?
Well, at the very early stages when we were doing the research and reading up about the causes of terrorism and so on, you kind of come to a point where you see that there's so much written on terrorism that isn't based on data collection or based on informed fact. What it's normally based upon is prejudice or opinion pieces masquerading as fact. So quite often the counterterrorism strategies that emanate from opinions are often wrong because they're not empirically informed.
What did you find that has been wrong, beliefs that are now out there that you have found to be in fact wrong?
Well, quite common in media depictions of who becomes a suicide bomber, they give you an image that it's a young,
radicalized
male who's radicalized, who isn't married, who doesn't have a girlfriend, and who is ill-educated, and that just doesn't prove to be correct by the facts.
What are the facts? What is the reality?
Well, suicide bombers worldwide there is no such thing as a perfect profile of a suicide bomber. Worldwide, they've ranged, like recently we've seen in Afghanistan and Pakistan, we've seen 12, 13, 14-year-old kids. One of the second last Palestinian suicide bomber a couple of years ago was a 75-year-old woman. She was a grandmother. She had been well-educated as a young woman. When we look at the 7/7 bombers from July 2005, they range from 18 to 30, some were religiously devout, some were born and bred in England, others were born in Jamaica. We've seen bombers who are Christians in Lebanon throughout the 80s, Hindus in the early 90s in Sri Lanka, Sikhs in India at different stages through the 90s. So, like, this phenomenon of suicide bombing doesn't just pertain to radical Muslim groups, a lot of different types of groups who
If it's far more complex than maybe out there, is it then also far more difficult to counter?
Exactly. I mean, I think one of the key things to do is build up an informed knowledge of what the processes are that are behind it, and then you can start to make some more elaborate, empirically driven counterterrorism policies. So that's what we're doing. I'm, as you said already, I'm a project manager here at the International Center for the Study of Terrorism, and that's what's at the heart of the center's message is, let's build up our understanding of terrorism, because a lot of the things that are out there in the press and so on aren't built upon fact and data collection.
Where do your researches go from here?
Well, at the moment, I am talking to a couple of different book publishers to try and turn my thesis into a published book for next year. So it's entitled Marketing Martyrdom, and we're hoping that to be out in the summer 2011. We're hoping to have a contract signed down over the next couple of weeks. And apart from that, I'm managing a big research project on the Provisional IRA from the 70s and 80s, who became a member. How did that profile change over time? How did they create and innovate in terms of their bombing technology and things like that? So it's a big data-driven study on the IRA at the moment.
Interesting study, and when should we see an outcome from that?
We're hoping to get a couple of articles ready for publication early 2011. I'm towards finishing a draft on two or three different papers at the moment. So.
And are you leading the study from Pennsylvania State University? Where's the funding for that one coming from?
Well, the funding was originally got by the director of the center here, the Dr. John Horgan, who's another Irishman. He got the funding in from the Office of Naval Research, which is itself funded by the Department of Homeland Security. And then I was hired off the back of that to run this big project.
Okay.
So there's myself and there's my boss, and then we have a couple of other institutional partners and about 30 undergraduate interns.
Well, Marketing Martyrs, your the book of your thesis, we look forward to seeing, and the results of your researches into the IRA. And that's Dr. Paul Gill, who has received the ECPR Jean Blondel Prize for the best political thesis in Europe.